السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. يا الله, open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. يا الله, open our hearts and our minds to the correct understanding of your words. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Ya Allah, show us the truth as the truth and make us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to abstain from it. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. Ya Allah, make us among those who listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. So my dear brothers and sisters, again, in our journey of learning and reviewing and trying to understand the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as has been conveyed to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the scholars after them from the early generations, so that we may have a proper understanding, not a whimsical personal understanding and interpretation of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always rely on the original sources, the older the better, from the books of tafasir, and how our scholars have understood it, how the sahaba most importantly understood it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, a reminder first for myself and for each one of you that we are embarking again not on an academic discussion of the Quran, but with the goal that we will implement to the best of our capacity and capability what we learn, that we will act, that we will walk the path, not just know the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us and has blessed us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pave this path and show this path, the path of all the Anbiya before him. So today we start with Surah Al-Balad. Al-Balad, as you know, is the city. This is the 90th chapter Surah of the Quran. And it's again, as we've mentioned before, we are trying to cover the Meccan surahs that were revealed in Mecca before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can have some idea of the real-time revelation of the Quran, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba were going through at the time when some of these revelations were coming down, so we can actually live in those times as much as we can. So some have said that this surah is from the early Meccan period, and some have said that it's from the mid-Meccan period. And again, these are the times when the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of Islam, is being rejected, and there is a lot of oppression in the Arabia of the time of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending revelation after revelation, inviting people towards the worship of himself, towards Tawheed from shirk and polytheism, and towards goodness and right behavior with each other, the rights of humanity, rather than the oppression that was rampant at the time in every aspect of how oppression can be understood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, in this Meccan surah, again starts with a qasam or an oath. And as we have said before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam by the waw ul qasam, like wal layli wal fajr was sama'i, with the waw. And he also takes qasam with ba, and sometimes by actually swearing أقسم or إقسم لا أقسم. And wherever the word أقسم or قسم is used, that I swear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never uses the word أقسم anywhere without preceding it with لا. لا أقسم. Okay. So as we have said before and we remind again, that the قسم is to bring attention to something of great importance, which is called the جواب القسم. What is it that the oath is being taken about? The oath is being taken by or over some of Allah's creation, but the oath is about something important. So it starts with a qasam. It is also used to emphasize the qasam, the truthfulness of what is being said. Allah is the most truthful. He is al-haq, the truth. So he does not have to testify or to swear or take an oath, but he does that to tell us that in fact this is the truth, and it is just something that's being hammered into us so that we understand it. And by taking an oath on some of his creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also magnifies and honors that which is being sworn by, which in this case is al-balad, the city. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, we go back to an era of disbelief and lack of guidance, and we go to an area of disbelief and rejection, which is Makkah at the time. And yet the kuffar of Makkah revered this city. They knew the sanctity of this city. They considered it as haram, as sacred. And they knew the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they already knew all of it. And in spite of all of that, they were doing what they were doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the sacred city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I swear by this city, the sacred city of Mecca, and by Allah taking an oath on the city, he glorifies this city even more, that Allah has taken an oath on this city. So as we said, the oath starts with لا أقسم بهذا البلد. And this لا is not a negation, it's a refutation of what they were saying. So it's one way of understanding this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying لا means stop saying what you are. Stop your denial. Stop your useless arguments that are baseless. Stop your conjectures. I swear, I indeed swear by this city, Mecca, this sacred city, the greatest place in the universe from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe. Ummul Qura, the mother of all cities. The sanctity of its confines, where life is honored, and where even trees are not allowed to be cut down. And they knew all of this. And how sacred is this city, and how beloved is this city, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being forced out of this city in his hijrah, and when he was leaving because they were trying to kill him, on his sort of last horizon where he could still see Mecca, he turned around. And you can imagine the emotion in his heart, and perhaps his eyes, his noble eyes, were a little wet. He says, and he addresses Mecca, he says, by Allah, you are the best of lands of Allah, and the best land of Allah to Allah. And were it not for the fact that I was expelled from you, I would never have left you. In another narration, he said, there is no finer place than you. There is no place more beloved to me, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And were it not for the fact that your people have driven me out, I would not have lived elsewhere. This is how beautiful and beloved the city is. So Allah is taking an oath. Another way is to say, no, indeed I do swear by the sacred city of Mecca, to emphasize the oath. Now, some have even translated the la uqsimu as actually no, as translating it as, no, I don't need to swear by this city. In other words, what is coming is so obvious that no oath needs to be taken. But this is a few people's opinion. Okay. Then Allah, so la uqsimu bihadhal balad. No, indeed, I do swear by the sacred city of Mecca. Wa anta hillum bihadhal balad. And anta, talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hillum bihadhal balad. You are hill in this city. Now this word hill has multiple meaning, and therefore there are multiple interpretations of what this means. The one that most of the Salaf from the time of Qatada and Hassan al-Hassan al-Basri and some of the companions took this position, which we are going to mention first, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the whole world hell, means permissible, but has made the haram, the Mecca haram, sacred. Okay, so when it says hell, means where it is permissible, where you are free to do things. So one translation, the major interpretation of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are free dweller. You are free in this city. What does free mean? Free doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. It means you are free from sin and you have been given permission to fight in this city and punish the enemies of Islam for an hour on a particular day. Even in this city, it has been made hell for you, where bloodshed is haram. Now, this is an early Meccan surah. What does this imply? It implies that it is a subtle way in which a bashara, a glad tiding, a prophecy is being made that one day, after being persecuted, you are going to come back here and you are going to conquer this city. And if you have to shed blood for that moment, it is permissible in this city. And the evidence for this also comes from a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is a sahih hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, after the fatah of Mecca, he said, this city of Mecca was made sacred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty Azza wa Jal, the day he created the heavens and the earth. Fighting in the city was not permitted for anyone before me or after me. Rather, it was permitted for me for a short hour, sa'a, of a day, on one day. That is interpreted as the day of Fath Mecca, that he was permitted. And then he said, at this moment, it is a sanctuary that is sacred by the decree of Allah until the day of resurrection. Means after this moment, it will never happen again. He said, its green grass is not to be uprooted or cut. Its trees are not to be cut. And its game, the animals, are not to be hunted. It is not permissible to pick up its lost property except by one who will announce it publicly in order to find the owner. So when he said this, Abbas radiallahu anh, his uncle, who was very smart, when he said if everything is forbidding, he said illa idhkir, idhkir. Idhkir is a grass that they used to use in making the graves and using it in the clay of their homes. So if that would be forbidden, they wouldn't be able to take it. So he suggested that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illal idhkhir, means everything else, this dry grass that you use is permitted, other than that you can't pluck anything. So this is the sanctity of this city, and this is the permission, this hell, this permission was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another interpretation that some have taken is that the kuffar knew of the sanctity of the city, that it was not permissible to kill and to persecute, yet they made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam halal on them to abuse him, to persecute him, and even attempt to murder him in the city. And there are some other understandings of hell. One is that it is a descent, that some have said that you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have descended into the city from the mountain with the revelation. So these are various interpretations, but the first opinion is the one that's most commonly accepted. It's interesting, in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the khairul bilad, the best of cities, and increased its magnificence by the presence in it of the khairul ibad, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Best of the servants in the best of city. Khairul ibad in khairul bilad. His presence made that sacred city even more glorious. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the second oath, wa walidun wa ma walad. It means, I also swear, that I'm saying because it's an oath, by the walid, if you want to say the father or the mother, one that begets, and the what it begets, ma walad. What begets and what is begotten, or the father and the son. Or every, if you take it in the general sense, every parent and every offspring, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. You can use it in a general term because Allah has not sworn by al-walid and al-walad. He said wa-walidun, which is open. So it's general. So if we take it in the general meaning, it means that Allah swears by all the parents and all the offsprings. And if you take it like that, this is an oath on all of humanity. And some more specifically have taken it that walid is the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam, and walad is his progeny. And this is the majority opinion of the scholars, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here swearing by Adam alayhi salam, the father of humanity, and all of the offspring. And if you take it like that, again, it's an oath that encompasses the entire mankind as the children of Adam. There is another opinion that this walid is Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this walad is Ismail alayhi salam, because that makes it more relevant to the city of Mecca, because Allah has sworn by Mecca. And the most important walid and walad that are linked with the city are Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. And therefore it also makes it relevant, because from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ultimate of walad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken these two oaths, the city and the father and the son, Adam alayhi salam and his progeny. After the oath comes what is called Jawabul Qasam. Jawabul Qasam is why this oath was taken, to stress an important point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Indeed, very truly, we created insan in kabad. The word kabad means all of, in the English language, any toil, any hardship, a constant struggle, any affliction, trials, a life of travail, all difficulties come in the word kabad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created insan in difficulties, in toils and struggles. And if we look at that, if we reflect on that, that the struggle starts from before conception, with the sperm having to struggle to find and fertilize the ovum. And then the zygote is struggling to embed in the uterus and then grow there. Then comes the struggle of the mother going through tremendous pain, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, qurh, qurh, means difficulty delivering this baby, and this baby going through difficulty of being squeezed through a narrow passage, all the difficulties. And then baby comes out, he's got all kinds of difficulty, complete incapacity to do anything. Then he gets a little older, the struggle of teething and crying over that. Then comes the struggle of crawling, and then stumbling, and walking, and then they grow up, then the struggle of learning, and then older, the struggle of working and earning. And it's an endless struggle that doesn't end. So, one of the Salaf was asked, when does the struggle end? Now, I forget who it was. He said, the struggle ends when we put our foot in Jannah. That's when the struggle ends. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us out of His wisdom, He created us to go through these struggles, that this life is a struggle. There is a purpose of creation. This is not meant to be Jannah, paradise, everything is ease. No matter how much ease we have, there will be struggle in the ease or struggle after the ease. Yes, Allah brings ease after difficulty, but there will be difficulties, and that's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a purpose of His creation that these are the trials to verify the veracity of our claims of Iman, that we will be tested, and the Iman will have to be confirmed through these struggles. It cannot just be claimed. So we struggle in our lives against outside forces. What are these outside forces? We have shaitan. We have temptations. We may be subject to persecution. There may be abuse of different forms. There may be challenges that may be personal. There may be physical illness, sickness. There may be emotional stress, psychological depressions, anxiety, social in communities, financial hardships, all kinds of struggle, along with struggling for our spiritual needs, spiritual pursuits, which are also a struggle. And man also has to struggle against the inner forces. What are the inner forces? Our nufus, the nafs, our egos, with its lower desires and its whims, the shahwa and the hawa. Now the outcome of each of these struggles, if the struggle is completed properly, in compliance with the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rules and regulation, with the right niyyah of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each of these struggles makes man come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a true abd, slave, servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, understand this basic principle. Your life is one of struggle. And to stress this point, He has taken the oath on Makkah and on the Walid and Walad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after that, He says, أَيَحْسَبُ أَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدْ أَيَحْسَبُ. Does insan think, يَحْسَبُ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدْ. Does he think? Does he have this misconception that no one has قُدْرَ قَدْر, power over him, that he will not be overpowered? Is he so arrogant that he believes that he is in control, that he is free to do whatever he wants? أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدْ. Does he not think that there is someone who can overpower him? Is this his understanding? يَقُولُ أَهْلَكْتُ مَالَ اللُّبَدَ. يَقُولُ, he says, أَهْلَكْتُ مَالَ اللُّبَدَ. أَهْلَكْتُ, literally أَهْلَكْتُ means destroyed. I have destroyed مَالَ اللُّبَدَ, means an abundance of wealth. When do you use in our language? We say he blew so much money. In other words, a person spent money recklessly, wasted it, squandered it. So he, this man who thinks he has, nobody has power over him, he says boastfully that I have spent abundant wealth. Literally, I have blown a lot of money and squandered it and wasted it in different ways, such as indulging my nafs, such as fulfilling my desires, and worse, such as fighting against the message of Islam and the messenger. He's implying, I have so much, I don't even care where it is spent or where it is wasted. It is my wealth, and I will do whatever I want with it. This is his understanding. This is his attitude. He squandered it, literally. And what is squandered means that it did not help anybody, and most importantly, it did not even help him. In fact, it became a liability for him, which he will answer for. As the hadith says, that on the day of judgment, the feet of a person will not move from that spot till he has answered certain questions, one of which is, where and how did you earn your wealth and where did you spend it? Right now you're so arrogantly saying that I have so much and I have blown so much. You will answer that. This also implies when a person is saying that, oh, I have spent so much, that in certain situations, when a person is asked to spend for noble causes, for the right and just causes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined in his sharia, he says, oh, I have already spent all the money. I don't have any more to give you. You want for relief work. You want to build a masjid. You want to help this. You want to help the poor. He says, I don't have any because I blew it all. So this is another way of doing this. So he boastfully says that I have blown so much wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَحْسَبُ أَنْ لَمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدٌ أَيَحْسَبُ Does he think? أَلَمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدٌ No one has seen him doing what he claims. Does he think that no one was or is watching him? What that implies obviously is, as everyone knows among you, that Allah was always watching him. His angels were watching him. They were recording his deeds, his squandering. Allah's witnesses watched and will testify to his boasting, to his wastage and his squandering. Because we have to remember, you and I are always under the absolute power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his watchfulness, because he is ar-raqib, the ever watchful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the attitude of some of these people at that time and for all times. And we have to look, like I said, apply in ourselves, do some of these traits, find their way in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who strive through the challenges of lives to be near him, to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the best of our ability, with ikhlas, not for recognition, not for being celebrated, not to impress people, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sidq, truthfulness, and ikhlas, sincerity, and accept us, accept our effort, accept this companionship, this study of the Qur'an, and open our hearts. So I want all of you to reflect on this surah, and there's a lot you can reflect on this. It's brief. And those who don't have not memorized it should memorize it. And when you know the words, and when you recite it in your salah, your mind doesn't go here and there. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.